This is the WHL This Week radio edition presented by the Western Hockey League. Here's your host, John Keane.
Hey, we are down to the final four in the WHL playoffs presented by Nutria. And ahead, we'll look back at the dramatic endings that saw both Lethbridge and Portland advance in Game 7 victories. We'll also hear from Portland Winterhawks head coach Kyle Gustafson. It's award season, and more WHL award winners have been announced, including the WHL's official of the year. Later in the show, referee Mike Langin will stop by after winning the Allan Paradise Memorial Trophy. And two goals by Gavin McKenna in the second round broke the internet. We'll hear more from Gavin McKenna on his reaction in a conversation with Will Bryant. First up, a pair of Game 7 showdowns to decide the conference championship series in both the East and the West. The Lethbridge Hurricanes finding a way in Calgary in Game 7.
Up the right wing, and Edwards trying to chisel it in. Mineo can't get it out. Edwards a steal. Down low pass. He's got Cousins out. Backhand scores! Luke Cousins steps out of the right wing corner, finds the top corner. And the Hurricanes, their biggest lead of the night. It's 3-1.
That insurance goal from Luke Cousins would prove to be enough. The final seconds on the Hurricanes broadcast on Victory Plus.
10 seconds left in Game 7. Puck worked back in over the line. McCutchen turns it back. Hurricanes faithful on their feet at the Saddle Dome. Chadwick will settle. And for the third time ever, the Hurricanes will play the Medicine Hat Tigers in Round 3. The Hurricanes are headed to the Eastern Conference Final. A 3-1 Game 7 win on the road.
Dustin Forbes on the call as the Highway 3 Eastern Conference Championship Series is now set between Lethbridge and the Medicine Hat Tigers. Meanwhile, the Spokane Chiefs, in dramatic fashion, heading to the Western Conference Championship Series. Double overtime against Victoria Tuesday night.
Comes left circle. Back out. Van Olma shot saved, and the puck losing behind. Comes out to Cadden. Back over to Crystal. He shoots and scores! Crystal wins it in double overtime! The Chiefs are off to the Western Conference Finals! Andrew Crystal on the rebound with Kraus down, and the Chiefs have eliminated the Royals 4-2. They will meet the Portland Winterhawks in the Western Conference Finals.
That was Mike Boyle on the call, who was calling his second baseball hockey doubleheader in the series. Andrew Crystal scoring back-to-back overtime winners to take the series in 6.
Yeah, I mean, we were just kind of moving around the power play, and we got a shot on net. There was a scramble, and got to Berkeley, and he put it right on a platter for me, and I just kind of had to put it in the open net, so it was good.
The Spokane Chiefs will now play the Portland Winterhawks for the Western Conference banner. The Hawks going into Everett to win a Game 7 showdown. Captain Kyle Chyzowski scoring his 11th goal of the postseason. He tied the game at 1 late in the second period. Portland then overcame a 1-goal third period deficit to win the game 4-2.
So proud, shocked, to be honest. I just can't believe we're in the spot, you know what I mean? The battle from these guys, you know, to go up into Prince George, and to come back and steal, you know, Game 7, and then to do it again in the toughest rink in the league, in Everett, I don't even know what to say. The guys stepped up big time, and there's not one guy in that room that didn't come through for us.
Well, the Portland Winterhawks are into the Western Conference Championship Series for the second year in a row, and it's under first-year head coach Kyle Gustafson after a 7-game series with the Everett Silvertips that saw the Winterhawks advance in that Game 7 victory on the road. Kyle joins us on the line here ahead of the Western Conference Championship Series. Kyle, first of all, congrats and thanks for making time for us here as you switch gears to the Spokane Chiefs.
Well, thanks, John. It's been a great playoff run for us. It's an exciting time of the year, which playoffs is always at. And, you know, we're thrilled to be in this situation. It's, you know, it's a testament to the players that we have, the guys that are leaving it out on the ice every night. And we couldn't be more excited.
I know everyone, you know, talks about going for it and being a championship contender every year, but I'm sure there would have been a lot of, you know, surprised faces that had I said you'll be right back in the Western Conference Championship Series at the end of last year, because you had a lot of roster turnover. You had not a lot of returning players, I think 8 or 9 to start the season here. So you've made it this far. How has this team got it done?
Well, it's early in the season. You know, we definitely had some adversity there. as a group, we're taking it on the chin. And, you know, a lot of it was just maybe working with our younger players or educating our younger players about, you know, what the league's all about and the grind and the demand. And, to answer your question on how we're getting it done, I strongly believe that it's our leadership group right now that's driving this thing. And, when I specifically Kyle Chizowski and Ryder Thompson that have been Winter Hawks for 5 years, it's quite special if you just remove yourself from the situation and take a look and see what they're doing. Not only what's going on, you know, in competition during the game, but how they conduct themselves in front of the group during practices and off ice. They deserve a lot of credit on what's going on, and also the guys are buying into it. The first year guys that, as we talked about, that we had a little bit of bump in the road early in this season, they've really grasped to this thing, and you know, the leaders are leading the way, and the first-year guys are taking the follow to it.
Yeah, and Kyle's got a lot of talk about how his playoffs have gone, really how his 20-year-old season has gone overall here. And he was the guy that sparked you in Game 7, wasn't he, in Everett, in that situation where you were down a goal in the second period?
Yeah, he was. And we've had you know, some of those experiences, not only through the playoffs, but the regular season, where maybe we're down two or three goals, and he's really put the team on his back and said, we're not done yet. And he's a big game player. He's been a big game player for his whole career, and maybe looking at his 20-year-old season now, he's getting maybe some more opportunity than what he's had in the past, whether it be on the power play or primary penalty killer. And you know, he's taking the most of it, and that's what you want to see in a leader. And I'm not really surprised, to be honest with you.
Let's talk about going into Everett and winning Game 7. This after having the shot to close it out on home ice, and I think you said it after the game, you know, sometimes you don't feel great about going back for a Game 7 coming off a loss. You go into that rink, and we know what that arena is like. We've talked about it a lot on the show. To come away with that win, I mean, that had to have been a very, I don't want to say unexpected feeling, but one of those exhilarating wins where you kind of steal it on the road.
Well, it wasn't easy, that's for sure. You know, if you look at our Game 6 and the way that it was handled, and we didn't have our best that night, and it seemed like we were behind the eight ball from the get-go. There was a weird bounce that led to their first goal, and it seemed like they were just rolling from there. So the Game 6 was a tough pill to swallow, and we talked to our team a lot about just wiping the slate clean after a game and getting ready for the next one. But as you mentioned, going into Everett is never easy. It's, you know, a lot of credit to their fans and their fan base. They make it challenging for the visiting team, and they were on their toes. They were on their feet in the stands, and there was definitely a loud building. You know, we felt that during the series, we had to have some short-term goals within the game, and for us to get to the first TV timeout was something we talked about a lot, and especially in Everett, in that building. So our first period, it wasn't a you know, a masterpiece by any means, but we got out of there with not chasing the game, and that was a huge accomplishment for our team. And you just have to stay steady in that building. You have to stay steady, and your team game's got to just be just solid. It doesn't have to be perfect. And yeah, we got to the third period, and you know, it was a 30-second spurt there that seemed to be the difference in the game. So the other thing that was great about that game, it was some of our depth guys. You can't say enough about the Hudson Derbies and the Kyle McDonoughs, the playoffs that they're having, and it's tight checking. That was the tightest series that I've ever been a part of here in 20-plus years in Portland. There was just, A, not a lot of space on the ice, and B, at the end of the night, it was usually an overtime game or maybe a one-goal difference in regulation. But getting back to Game 7, it just took a little bit of time and a bounce here and there. And in our situation, 30 seconds to get two goals seemed to be the difference.
Yeah, it was that Game 7 was like a series all in a game for sure. You've pulled off two upsets here already, Prince George and now Everett, who was the number one seed and the regular season champions. And waiting for you now is perhaps the team that a lot of people have been talking about since the trade deadline. That's the Spokane Chiefs. I speak to you here less than 24 hours after wrapping up a series, but I know it's a quick turnaround here. You got to be in Spokane and ready to go this weekend for the first two games of that set.
Yeah, we do. We'll be traveling in tomorrow, getting ready for the Friday game. And, you know, we haven't had a lot of time to talk about Spokane, but on the other hand, it's a divisional opponent that we've seen enough during the regular season. We have some history with, so I think they know who we are, and I think we know a little bit about them, you know. And I guess in our preparation, getting back to the Prince George series, it was it was a different style of play than maybe what we saw in the Everett series. So I feel like we're well rehearsed, and PG was a hard grinding, demanding series where you had to be, you know, strong on the boards. You had to be strong in front of your net. You had to be disciplined at the right time. So we feel like we have that experience. And then the Everett series was wide open. It was a lot of run and gun. It was, you had to be skating both ways. You had to be tight checking. You had to be on your toes on faceoffs. So I feel like we've had a little bit of what Spokane's all about. They're obviously a tremendous team and an elite team, and they have high-end players. But in terms of the style of play, it feels like it's a little bit of a hybrid between what I just talked about and the PG experience and Everett.
You know, you mentioned divisional opponent, but you only saw them once after the trade deadline. And sure, you know what guys like Andrew Crystal are about because you matched up in Kelowna. But that top line with Shea Van Olm and Berkeley Catton, what's the answer there? How do you shut these guys down? Because they're really having their way here so far in the postseason and really since the trade deadline when they were put together.
I don't know if you have a... if you have a secret sauce to shutting these guys down, it's, again, the experience that I've had in the Western Hockey League, I don't know if I've seen a more dominant line than this line that we're going to be faced with. You know, the saying goes, you hope just to minimize their chances. And as a team, this Spokane, they really get going on the power play. So you got to start there and make sure that, you know, we're doing everything we can from a discipline standpoint to keep them off the power play. And five-on-five, like I said, they're going to get their chances, but you want to make sure that maybe those are secure on less dangerous parts of the ice and making sure that our checking as a five-man unit is tight. And I guess if you have a high-end line that's flying around, your goaltending's got to be solid, and hopefully we have that going for us.
Yeah, Andrei Štebetak has been great for you in the playoff series. Well, we look forward to it. What a run so far for the Winterhawks. I think the playoffs have gone as expected, except for Portland here, as we look forward to the Final Four and the conference championship matchup. So great job to this point, Kyle, and good luck against Spokane as you take a step further toward the Edge Chanel Cup. Thanks for doing this.
You've got it, John. I appreciate it.
22 teams, one goal. This is the WHL This Week Radio Edition.
Two goals that Gavin McKenna scored against the Prince Albert Raiders still have everyone talking. Will Bryant spoke to him about those two goals and much more.
You guys finally know who it's going to be. It was either going to be Calgary or Lethbridge. The Hurricanes win Game 7. So what do you take away from Lethbridge being the opponent here?
Yeah, I mean, we're pumped. We know they're a really good team, obviously. I think they're good defensively, so I think if we, you know, are on them all game and are in the ozone, you know, their stuff will happen. And if it's not happening, we can't get frustrated, and we just got to stick with it because, like I said, they're good defensively. So it's a long series, and we're prepared to go for a long series. So we just got to make sure we're not getting too far ahead of ourselves.
I got to ask, Gav, the two goals you scored in round two, the first, the goal in game two, the shorthanded, I don't know what you call it, spin your back to the goal, and it was almost a basketball-style move, and then the Michigan in game three. I want to start with the goal in game two. How do you come up with that? What went through your mind on that play?
Yeah, I don't know. I just I kind of saw a little one-on-one with the defender and threw it behind my back to kind of protect it in case he tried to poke it, and hopefully he went for it, and he did. So when I saw that, I spun the other way because I knew he'd be leaning the other way, and it worked out, and saw shots. Their guy was kind of screening their goalie, so you know, I had to take opportunity of that, and lucky enough, went in the back of the net.
Could you believe it went in?
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't feel like it was the craziest goal, but when I saw it after, it was pretty cool.
And then the Michigan, you followed up another game later. I know you've been trying the Michigan kind of all season long. What was it like to finally pull that off in a game?
Yeah, I think that was definitely one of the most satisfying things I've ever done. Just that feeling when you hit the post and then you see the puck in the back of the net, it was pretty cool. And just to even get it up, like, that's half the battle. And you know, I think there wasn't a whole lot of room, so yeah. I think it was a pretty cool one.
Do you have a preference if you had to pick which goal, you know, to put above the other? I know it's only just happened, but do you have one that you prefer?
Man, I've been working on the Michigan a lot. I've been trying to do it for a long time, but I think that first one on the shorthanded one, I think that was pretty unique, and I've never really, you know, obviously there's been stuff like it, but I think it was kind of unique.
You're listening to the WHL This Week Radio Edition.
The Western Hockey League has crowned its Rookie of the Year.
Got a stick on it. Now here's Dupont. He scores! Landon Dupont, his first in the WHL, gives the Silvertips a 2-0 lead as he gets the feed in the slot. And no mistake on this one. He'll put this one in with a great wrist shot.
Everett Silvertips defenseman Landon Dupont, this year's winner of the Jim Pigott Memorial Trophy. Dupont, the eighth defenseman in 58 seasons to win the distinguished award. He's the first defenseman and second player in WHL history to be granted exceptional status to compete in the league full-time this season as a 15-year-old. He surpassed lofty expectations by leading all WHL rookies with 17 goals and 43 assists for 60 points in 64 games. Dupont finished ninth among first-year players in goals, second in assists, and third in plus-minus with a plus-31 rating. And he also became the first D-man age 16 or younger to hit the 50-point mark in their first season since Hockey Hall of Famer and Kamloops Blazer Scott Niedermeyer accomplished that feat in the 1989-90 season. Dupont, not eligible for the NHL draft until the summer of 2027.
From the drop of the puck to the Edge Chanel Cup, this is the WHL This Week Radio Edition.
WHL referee Mike Langin has been awarded the Allen Paradise Memorial Trophy for the WHL's Official of the Year. This is 14th season in the league and the first time being recognized as the award winner. Mike joins us on the line from West Kelowna today. Mike, first of all, thanks and big congratulations. This is a nice feather in the cap for sure.
Yeah, thank you very much. It was definitely a surprise phone call when Kevin Minch called me a couple nights ago and said I have good news and bad news for you. And, you know, the bad news was I couldn't tell anyone until tomorrow. And when he said that I was, the winner of the Allen Paradise, it was definitely very... very grateful phone call, but also very very humbling as well.
Let's look at the past award winners here. Just over the last number of years, Jeff Ingram, Chris Kreitch, Brett Iverson, Chris Schlenker. Like, these are guys obviously you've worked with in the past, and now you are all award winners here. That has to make you feel pretty good to be along the same lines here with these guys.
Yeah, absolutely. It's an honor to be, kind of sharing that award with the names you listed there and a lot of other, past recipients as well. And even for myself, kind of growing up and kind of starting my officiating career in Kelowna here. And, guys like Iverson and Ingram, those are guys that I kind of looked up to and, they were kind of role models for me. And now as, we've had Chris Kreitch retire and Iverson retire and, Ingram's still active on the ice, which is great. So it's kind of, it does kind of come full circle and it's kind of rewarding to be in that kind of group of names with those officials, but also be able to kind of, kind of hopefully be that, kind of mentor for our newer and younger officials in the league as well.
You know, Mike, players strive to be in the playoffs and reach the conference championships and the WHL final. And as that happens, the referees get pared down to the most experienced or the best of the best. I'm sure it's the same with a group of officials. You want to, be in these big games. You want to be in the WHL championship series here and get the opportunity to work.
Absolutely. Yeah. No, this is something we work for all year. I know it's such a cliche, but every game is important. And, especially as we kind of go through the, get down in towards the end of the regular season and go through the playoffs, every game is important. And especially as we know, we don't know when your last game is going to be. So, we go up there and try to, work as hard as we can to, make sure the games are served properly and make sure they're officiated well. And we're not a big factor in the games, but, this is the best time of year to be on the ice. Especially with everything on the line, rinks are full, just like the emotion and the intensity is just at another level. And it makes it a lot of fun to be on the ice.
What's it like, Mike, to go into some of these rinks right now in the WHL playoffs? There's some crazy atmospheres out there and, you'll be part of the conference championship. So you could see action in both conferences perhaps here. But this time of the year, we see full buildings. There's energy in the rink. You guys step out of the ice as a team. What's it like right now to be an official at this level at this time of the year?
It's so fun, to be completely honest. It's the best time of year to be in the ice. I was fortunate enough to be up in Prince George for game 6 and 7 in the first round. And sold out rink and that place was so loud. So it's so fun. And every rink's so different in terms of just kind of the, the atmosphere and whatnot, but it's all very similar at the same time. So it's, like I said, it's such a good time to year be on the ice. And it's fun just to kind of look around every once in a while, just kind of, soak it all in and be like, you know, this is what we work for all year, and you know, to try to get those opportunities to get the big games or the game sevens and stuff like that.
You know, along with the WHL, you've also had numerous IIHF assignments. Look at the World Juniors last year, 2025. The Men's Worlds twice the last 2 years, 23 and 24. These have to be big assignments, too, to be recognized by the IIHF to get some of these assignments around the world. I mean, this has to be, I don't know if it's the be-all, end-all goal or it's just another step in the direction of where you want to be, Mike. But tell me about working some of these international events.
Yeah, I've been very fortunate enough to work a couple different IHF events over the years, from the under 18s to World Juniors, worked the World Championships in 2023, and then we'll actually be going to the World Championships this year in actually about a week and a half, going over to Sweden and Denmark. So very excited for that opportunity, and it's kind of for the World Championships this year. It's kind of our last showcase event. There's 30 of us that were selected or identified from the IHF as part of this Road to Milano group, which is basically for us a shot at the Olympics in 2026. So definitely very exciting. I mean, there's a lot of, I wouldn't say a lot of pressure, but there's definitely, you know, a lot at stake with our tournament coming up here. So where the chips land and where they fall, and then how the assignments and the selection process is on how they, you know, kind of create their roster for the Olympics in 26. You know, I can't control that. So all I can do is just go on the ice and, you know, try to make sure the games go as well as they can. And you know, where the chips fall, they fall. But, for, you know, even just to have another opportunity to work in other World Juniors this year and work in other World Championships, you know, I'm definitely very fortunate and very grateful to do so, because I wasn't too happy with how I performed at the World Championships in 23. And they send half the officials home after the quarterfinals if they don't plan on using you in the last 2 days of games. So unfortunately, I was part of that group to get sent home early. And, you know, definitely wasn't a good feeling. But at the same time, it's also, you know, it's just the reality of, hey, there's only so many spots and only so many guys get to work. And you know, definitely want to kind of go back and hopefully prove that I can be in that, you know, in that top group and try to stay there till the end of the tournament this year.
Yeah, wow. That's a side you don't often hear about here, is the accountability on the other side of it and the competition to keep doing it. Speaking of keeping on doing it, the NHL seems to be what the WHL is about as far as development of players and coaches and officials. It can be hard to break into when, you know, you're talking of officials around North America that get that opportunity here, Mike. But is that the ultimate goal for you, to be a full-time referee? Be a professional?
It used to be. To be completely honest, I had an opportunity to work for the American Hockey League for 2 years in the 2015-16-17 seasons. Unfortunately, didn't pan out with that. And I mean, there's, like I said, there's a lot of good officials across North America, and you know, they kind of like to kind of, you know, refresh their kind of prospect list and give guys chances. So at the time, I was definitely, you know, to be completely honest, I was definitely a little bummed out that I wasn't, you know, kind of on that prospect list anymore. But, you know, looking back at it, I was still very grateful and still, you know, appreciative of the opportunity I had to basically travel around North America and U.S. for the American League. And just like anything, it's tough to get into. There's a lot of officials, a lot of it's timing. I mean, no different with, you know, with work or anything like that. You know, sometimes opportunities are there just with the right timing and the right luck. And, you know, unfortunately for me, it didn't pan out. But, I mean, looking back at it now, it's, you know, if I was on a NHL minor league contract or even the NHL, then, you know, these opportunities to work in international stuff as well wouldn't happen. So, I mean, there's, you know, it's kind of a double-sided coin. And, you know, for myself to be able to, you know, now go to Europe, you know, five times on the, you know, on the IHF's expense, it's pretty nice to be able to travel internationally and just the, you know, the friendships you make, the networks that you come up with. I mean, it's such a cool experience and, you know, definitely something I think we need to kind of highlight and kind of showcase for, you know, for our younger officials in the WHL too, is like, hey, you know, NHL, obviously if we could all get there, we would love to be there. And, you know, that's not a reality just based off of the numbers, and no different with the players and coaches as well. So I think to be able to kind of showcase and highlight the opportunities we have within like the Hockey Canada program with, you know, national events and with the IHF and stuff as well. There's still a lot of opportunities for officials to, you know, work different events and stuff like that. So it's, It's a very small world in the officiating world, but there's still a lot of opportunities for guys to get selected for different events and things like that.
And of course, you mentioned it, off to Denmark and Sweden for the men's worlds here in a few weeks. But before that, still the WHL championship conferences here getting going, and you'll be right in the center of that here. So, hey, appreciate your time. Congratulations once again on being the winner of the Allan Paradise Memorial Trophy as the WHL's top official. And best of luck here the rest of the way, and have a great time overseas. Thanks a lot.
Thank you very much, and I appreciate the time.
Hey, that's the show. Big thanks to our guests, as well big thanks to Will Bryant in Medicine Hat for his help. WHL's Eastern and Western Conference Championship Series getting underway. Hey, I'm John Keane. We'll talk to you next week.